Onward now with more of Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chitakis. Now back in time to MTV News with Kurt Loder.
Deirdre O'Donoghue definitely knows what she's talking about. After 5 years as a DJ at the powerhouse LA station KMET, she said goodbye to commercial radio with all of its format and playlist restrictions and followed her instincts to KCRW, where she now hosts a freewheeling three-hour nightly new music show called Snap.
I really love music, and I like to go out scouting and finding new things, and I have the attention span of a three-year-old, so I always want to be hearing new things.
New and eclectic music is what KCRW does today, and it is certainly what the station did nearly 40 years ago when Deirdre O'Donoghue began her journey here following years at KMET, chronicled in our podcast called Bent by Nature. And today, after years of mastering, archives of those Snap shows are now live streaming for a new generation to discover and enjoy. With us today to talk about this new project is KCRW Senior Music Department producer Mike Dodge Weisskopf. Mike, welcome to you.
Good day, sir.
This has been a real passion project for you. I know you're too young to have listened to Snap Live. How did you first find out about this show?
Sure. Well, I'm old enough to have traded bootleg cassettes when I was in high school and junior high. So I went to a record convention in some suburban motel ballroom, you know, sometime in the mid to late 80s, and happened upon some tapes of her live performances, which were renowned kind of outside. They expanded beyond the bounds of Southern California through, you know, the tape network, which allowed folks like me and Misfits and other places to hear the music that Deirdre was playing and the bands that she was playing. So, you know, thanks to her influence, a lot of those bands then went on to have bigger careers, and they ended up in the living rooms of people like me, and I went out and found these tapes out in the hinterlands of American motel rooms, and ended up with some of those Snap shows.
You and I both know Bob Carlson and the rest of LA too, who hosts KCRW's Unfictional podcast. But he first got his start at KCRW working as an engineer on that show called Snap, didn't he?
He did. It was sort of an accident, as I understand it. I mean, he was at KCRW doing other things, I think more of a standard news engineer, culture engineer, and then she sort of corralled him one day and said, you're going to work for me, and threw him in the studio with Christine Collister and Clive Gregson for his first session in 1989, and the rest is history.
She was there for how long in the 1980s?
Deirdre came to KCRW actually in 1980 under the auspices of Tom Schnabel, who heard her doing some work on a jazz station actually elsewhere in LA, and said, you know, she was playing some kind of edge case jazz music on this otherwise pretty straight format. And he said, this sounds like someone who belongs at KCRW. And so she came over and hosted some jazz and blues programs for the first couple of years, and then started Snap in December of 1982.
Because she had been a rock and roll DJ, as we heard at the top, at KMET and some other powerhouse radio. So she knew about the music, right? But she felt so inhibited by commercial radio and what it, and I believe me, I know the commercial radio, you know, the staccato, you know, this is what you got to do. And she wanted to get away from that.
Yeah, it's really interesting, I think, because like it's hard to trace her journey precisely, because there are tapes of her going back to 1974 on a station in Newton, Massachusetts, where she was just doing like straight up FM, light rock kind of stuff. And then, you know, you sort of, as this music starts to creep into her playlists, even at KCRW, you're kind of like wondering, how's she finding out about it? You know, and it's not exactly clear, but it, you know, over the course of even just listening to Snap and to those early cassettes, you really hear her investing, whether it was a case of her feeling more emboldened by KCRW or just whether she was finding her way through all of it herself. You know, what's so great about this project is that you hear Deirdre's journey as well as that of her audience kind of coming together at the same time.
And the ethos of her show is about finding new music. That's what she, you know, that's at the thrust of what she's doing.
Absolutely. Her peg was that it was, quote, new, unusual, imaginative, inventive, and bent music. And that was kind of her tagline for in the earlier years of what she was going for. And that was definitely a through line for her. And she kind of had this term called avant pop that she would use to describe in a broader way all of this music that she was playing.
And even some of the heavy hitters that she would play, she would, I want to play this one hit from, I guess, the early 1980s, where she throws a little shade at David Bowie.
My name's Deirdre. This show's almost getting old. It's snap number 20 tonight, April 16th, 1983. We'd be doing it every week. David Bowie's got something new. We've been playing pieces from it. And I am kind of curious to know what you think about it. If you've got an opinion, 450-5183. I'm not entirely sure if David's, maybe he's just out of shape or something. Or maybe I just haven't listened to it enough yet. And maybe you haven't either, so I'm going to try one more from the new David Bowie album called Let's Dance. This is China Girl. Let Snap know what you think of what Bowie's up to.
So I mean, like, she's like, you know, she's giving you what she's got, which is, you know, here's my opinion about it. Hey, you heard some great stuff from Bowie. Maybe this isn't the one. But it turned out to be a hit.
Yeah, well, you know, Deirdre was an iconoclast. And I think she, above all else, I mean, I think it was the thing that made her such an essential voice, but also got her into a lot of trouble at times, is that she would speak truth to power, you know, even for artists that were sort of canonical or legendary or held in higher esteem. You know, she was a huge Bowie fan, but she heard Let's Dance and she was like, okay, you know? I mean, she didn't feel compelled to, like, toe the line with anybody, and she didn't answer to record executives or programming people, you know, and that was what made her show, I think, so invigorating for so many people, that here was someone who was really just speaking to you as a fan first and foremost, and all the thrills and elation, but also the disappointments that can come along with that.
There is this track with Suzanne Vega that you shared with us that is just, my goodness. I mean, let's listen to a little bit right now.
Today I am a small blue thing, like a marble or an eye, with my knees against my mouth, I am perfectly round. I am watching you.
That was from a session in studio in the basement, right? At KCRW, the old studios at the main campus of Santa Monica College. She was really big on having artists come down and perform, right?
Yeah, this was kind of a thing. I don't want to say that she was like the original innovator of it, but I think what Deirdre did was she made Snap kind of a rumpus room for artists, right, where they could come both local and national, and, you know, she would often bring artists over from Ireland or England as well, and she would just create this space for them. And if you remember the KCRW basement, being in the basement of a college, I think, and being late at night and after hours and kind of loading in after everyone else has gone home, you just innately have the sense that you're entering into this other realm, right? That you're creating a space for people to kind of experiment and play. And that was what so much of the music that she loved was about. And so I think, coupled with her kind of innate enthusiasm and her deep knowledge, bands just felt like, this is someone who gets what I'm doing, and this is a place where we can kick back a little bit and do some covers or play new songs we haven't played live before. It wasn't really a place to come in and do like the press junket, you know what I mean? Like, it was really a safe space and a creative and an expansive space for artists.
Let's talk about her connection to the local LA music scene. She did have her fingers and her ears, right, on sort of the pulse of what was going on in LA.
I think so. And I think, again, like the iconoclasm factor, right, that she wasn't, you know, so interested in maybe the show that had the hippest crowd or the show that had the biggest audience. She might have been squirreled away at Club Lingerie watching some band with 10 other people, you know, but if that was a band that in some way spoke to her sensibility or spoke to her sense of discovery, you know, that would be the band, whether they had even put out a single yet. You know, she would throw them on the air live on Snap and just have them kind of show their stuff. So that was a huge part of it for her, you know, that she wasn't, again, she was more interested in digging into the crevices of what was going on and not necessarily being where all the other folks were hanging out.
Yeah, and like an up-and-coming band out of, I think, Athens, Georgia? What were they called? Oh, yeah, R.E.M.
Those guys.
Those guys who didn't have much of a following back in the day. Deirdre, of course, followed them. And let's hear a little bit from Michael Stipe from R.E.M. on the show.
She was such a bright light and such a brilliant, open, curious, energetic flashpoint. She was the center of a community of people that might have never come together had she not been there. And so we owe her a lot.
I mean, was that the general response from folks about Snap and Deirdre herself?
I think so. And this was actually really borne out in even the process of putting this project together, you know, because I had to reach out to a lot of these bands and their managers and so on to kind of get permission to put these sessions back out into the world after so many years. And over again, I would hear like, Deirdre was amazing. We missed Deirdre. There's no one like her. You know, I mean, I think even now she still has this power of what she represented and who she was as a person that artists responded to so strongly then. And they still think of her with a great fondness, you know, and she really was. She was there at the birth of so many micro genres and scenes, and both here in LA and abroad. And she, you know, in her own way, kind of represents so much of that entire span of time because she was so instrumental in bringing so much of that music out there. And, you know, having that role with these artists like R.E.M. and others who were greater and smaller than they were.
And sadly, she left us too soon.
She did. She passed away in 2001, and she was a very private person, so we really went to great pains not to kind of talk about Deirdre's personal life in the podcast and since, but, you know, her music endures and her legacy endures, and I'm so grateful that KCW has made this forum for us to bring so much of this back for folks to enjoy and discover anew or for the first time.
And all for your ears to listen. And we've got it all online, by the way, at kcrw.com/GLA. Let's hear a little of REM on Snap, by the way, as we go out. And thank Mike Dodge Weisskopf for telling us about Deirdre and for spending your pandemic for much of the time that everyone was at home and trying to stay isolated. You were mastering all of these episodes and sessions, so we can all listen now. So, Mike, thank you for that.
My greatest pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Sky and sell the sky, tell sky, tell.